Good if it goes.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. It's Super Bowl Sunday. We're doing a live radio video broadcast of the podcast. We got, I can't even think of nothing clever because it's so Super Bowl Sunday-ish. All I'm thinking about is football. We got Prentice, we got Shane, we got Mike, and it's a lady. We got Kelsey on the podcast. Kelsey, say what's up to the people. Okay, that you don't got to say what's up to the people. That's fine.
Oh, no, I didn't. I'm sorry. I didn't hear you say what's up to the people. What's up, guys?
Kelsey, give us a brief background, you know, how you got into sports, what you're doing, how good if it goes, and if there are any gentlemen callers out there that have your hand or your eye.
Well, I've been playing sports for a really long time now. I'm actually not playing anymore. I transitioned into the media side. Formerly used to work at the Arena Football League doing some video, used to be at ESPN as a production assistant. I write for a couple of websites, including Good If It Goes, and now I'm just out, you know, just still kind of freelancing a little bit. So not too many people on the line, but that's okay. Single's cool, so.
There you have it, fellas. I don't think there's anybody worthy on this podcast, aka white boy. We talking about you. Don't even try it.
This is probably true.
So I might have to pay Kelsey because we can't lose her. She done banged out like 5 articles in 4 days, and that's more than anybody on this podcast put together. But
don't put everybody else down.
We gonna get fuck them. We gonna get down to the nitty gritty. What everybody is here for. We got our beer ready. We got the wings ready. We all in the loser's lounge. Nobody got a dog in the fight. It's Super Bowl Sunday. Shane, give me your breakdown of the game. We got up first, what is it going to take for the Broncos to win the Super Bowl?
They're going to need the defense to do exactly what they did to Tom Brady. They're going to need Peyton Manning to do more than he did against New England, and I don't see how either one is possible. I mean, we knew coming into that New England-Denver game that New England's offensive line was their biggest weak spot, so Denver completely exploited it. And that's, I just don't, how does that, how do they do that to Carolina? I can't see any way that happens. So I think it's going to be a mismatch. I don't even think the game's going to be close.
Prentice, what do you think?
I kind of disagree a little bit with Shane said. I think it's going to have to be Denver's run defense. You know, if they, I think the formula last week, when we talked about Tom Brady dropping 8 in coverage, they did that and they stopped him all game. Now you got Carolina who's going to be run first. And how can their defense adjust and not really rushing up the field, trying to get after Cam when everything's going to be underneath with Jonathan Stewart and Tolbert and the other guys back in the backfield? How can they make the plays to stop them from running the ball? And I don't know if they can. I see a mismatch as well. It's I kind of see a blowout here.
Mike, what do the Broncos have to do to win Super Bowl 50?
Yeah, so to answer your question, now last week on this podcast, I said that Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware, along with the rest of the Broncos D, was going to have Tom Brady on his ass. And if I'm not mistaken, he was on his ass more than he had been all year.
You were correct.
They're not going to, thank you, I appreciate that. Now, they're not going to do that as much to Cam Newton. It's just not going to happen. They have to contain him, keep him from getting outside of the pocket. That run game, we already know Carolina's, their motto is keep pounding. So if that run defense can stop them, like Prentice said, that'll get them a better chance. I also think a little bit of sight comes into play, man, because 2 years ago, this team with a similar roster, they got their ass handed to them in the Super Bowl. And it's a different team now. You got a different coach with Kubiak and them guys over there. But it's going to be the defense first. Defense. And as far as, like, getting turnovers, causing turnovers, Carolina caused a lot of turnovers, but so do the Broncos. And if they could limit turnovers also, Manning takes it easy and they play a little bit more carefully than they did the second half of the season, they definitely won't get blown out. And I mean, it's any given Sunday at the end of the day. So I think Carolina's going to win, but in order for Denver to, their defense is going to have to anchor them like they have all season. And they're going to have to find a way to put some points up on the board on the offensive side of the ball and limit turnovers.
Okay. Kelsey, you're the newcomer to the podcast. Probably should have let you go first, too, because you're a lady. But what do the Broncos have to do to win? They have to beat Cam and the very stingy Carolina defense. What do they have to do to win Super Bowl 50?
Yeah, honestly, I'm going to agree with what everyone's saying about the defense and how they definitely need to do exactly what they did in the AFC Championship. However, they got to get Demaryius Thomas open. Like, there was not a lot of targets to Demaryius Thomas in the AFC Championship. Yeah, and honestly, the secondary for the Patriots, I commend them because they did a great job of strapping that man down. Now, there was a struggle for the run game for the Broncos to get started in the first half. So they're going to need to keep feeding the ball to CJ Anderson as well. He's going to have to get key yardage on second and third downs. And like I said, you got to get your wide receivers open. Emmanuel Sanders does a really good job of running routes, and he's getting open, but you got to get your star open. You got to get Demaryius Thomas open. Now, obviously, with the Panthers and their pass rush, they're going to be coming up on the line almost every play. So knowing that, in your secondary, that's where you got to pay attention.
Okay.
Ooh, fantastic. Okay.
Why you giving her that?
That surprise? Oh, is
why you
shocking?
Giving that? She worked for ESPN, bro.
I like what I heard.
You said, are you being sexist right now?
I'm not. I appreciate the analysis. Now, with that being said, is do you see Denver's wide receivers having success versus Carolina getting open?
If we're comparing wide receivers, yes. But if we're comparing the Carolina secondary to the receivers on the Broncos, then I'm definitely going to say that the Carolina Panthers secondary is by far great. But however, from a defensive standpoint on Carolina, their pass rush is probably the greatest thing about them. You got Kuechly, who's arguably the best linebacker in the entire league. So that's what's really going to hurt them if they continue. Like I said, their running game was a little bit slow getting started against the AFC, against the Patriots. So think about how slow it could potentially be against a heavy pass rush like that. That's why you got to look down the field. You got to get your receivers down the field.
You know what? And I said the same thing in the podcast last week with the Arizona Cardinals. I thought if Carolina had one weakness, it was their secondary. Of course, you got Norman, but, you know, everybody else is kind of nameless. And I thought Arizona had a chance to, you know, use their big three on the outside to make plays, and they didn't do a goddamn thing. And that's where I see the big difference in this game. I don't know if Denver are going to be able to do it.
Yeah, all I've heard all week is, you know, Von Miller, DeMarcus Ware, this pass rush got to get after Newton. Well, how is Peyton Manning going to do anything against that Carolina defense?
Yeah.
Kuechly and Thomas Davis, and, you know, Thomas Davis is playing with, he's going to have to play through
the broken arm.
I think it's the broken forearm or something nasty like that. But he put a cast on. He's going to play. Oh, he's playing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that Carolina defense is, you know, they might not have the same firepower as Denver, but they're just about as good.
I think it was Mike that brought up the point of, you know, they're 2 years removed from that fucking trounced. I can't even. They fucking got trounced by the
embarrassment.
Seahawks. Like the worst Super Bowl I've ever watched.
Yeah, and I'm going to be honest. I hope I'm wrong because I'm really hoping for a good game here. But I think we're going to be looking at another blowout. I don't know if it's going to be 43-8, but I could see Carolina winning this game in ugly fashion.
The same type of game we saw 2 years ago.
Yeah, because the way Cam Newton's playing, I mean, he's going to pick you apart. And I think they have Cam Newton, their offensive line, the way they are able to run the ball, they have everything you need to negate that Denver pass rush. And if that pass rush is negated in any way, it's over. And because that's Denver's biggest strength, and if they can slow that down, it's going to get ugly.
Okay, let's finish it off with this. Been speculated all week this will be Peyton Manning's last game, probably win or lose. If he loses, Does this hurt his legacy even more?
I'm going to say no, it doesn't. Just because a lot of times when you think of Peyton Manning, half of the people that are thinking that aren't even thinking about the Broncos.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But, I mean, still, his record in the Super Bowl, his record in the playoffs, his inability to be the clutch quarterback in the regular season and have it translate into some type of ring, it's kind of like funny because if Brady goes to if Brady wins last week, I don't think they beat the Panthers. So that probably would have tarnished his legacy a little bit. He would have been, what, 4-4? Yeah. Or 4-3.
Definitely.
Most whatever
definitely.
It was.
I can agree with that.
So, I mean, I think it kind of sucks for Peyton because he's getting the short end of the stick right now because I really don't think that the Broncos belong here based off of his play, based off of the defense and everything else they did during the season. I don't think that they deserve to be in the Super Bowl.
I mean, they deserve to be there. He just don't deserve to get the credit that he would get if they win. And the thing is I don't think a loss will necessarily hurt his legacy, but I think winning can only add to it. And if he goes out on top and he retires, then it's looking like, well, people start throwing him back in that greatest quarterback of all time conversation, which they shouldn't.
Okay, let's fucking relax again.
You know they will.
We don't need that fucking argument anymore.
Everybody knows that they're in the Super Bowl pretty much in spite of him. But if they are to win this game, even if he has another one of these, you know, below average to average games he's had pretty much the whole year, in 10, 15 years, nobody's going to remember that. They're going to say Peyton Manning's last game, he won a Super Bowl. He's got 2 Super Bowl rings. That's what he'll be remembered as.
Exactly.
And I don't think losing really changes it because he's 39. We know what he is already, and we know he can barely play anymore as it is. It's not like it would be worse if he had some huge year and then he came out and, you know, threw 3 picks and, you know, that's what we remembered him. Oh, Peyton choked again. Losing this game, nobody's going to consider it choking.
Yeah. All right. Now, we'll move on to the Panthers. Shane, since you enjoy talking, what will it take for the Panthers to win?
Show up. Walk on the field. Continue to do what they've done. I mean, in the beginning of games, they're just punching teams in the mouth. They punched Seattle in the mouth, and they punched Arizona in the mouth, and they never had to look back. They're just so balanced. Like that's, you know, I kind of doubted during the year. I said it many times on this podcast. I'm glad to admit I was wrong. You know, everybody talked about the downfall for this team was eventually going to be the weakness of their wide receivers. And, I mean, those guys have stepped up and made plays. They had, you know, they're obviously not the best, but, you know, Ted Ginn, Devin Funchess, Philly Brown, those guys are making plays. And the two-headed, running game they got with Stewart and Tolbert, offensive line, Greg Olsen, how good their defense is and the way Cam's playing, it's by far the most balanced team in the league, and it's showed in the playoffs.
Do you think that the distractions that are going on this week with Cam and how the media is trying to play up this whole race thing. Do you think that affects them at all?
Not at all. It means nothing come game time. That's all that is something for us to talk about because we're bored until the game starts. That's it. It means nothing when the game starts. Nothing.
All right, Mike, what will it take for the Panthers to win? I almost said Seahawks again. What will it take for the Panthers to win?
I think a lot of us going to have similar answers. That defense, the ground and pound. Offense, Cam Newton's play. I'm going to go a different direction. I'm just going to say the fact that they are there. And I feel like all season, we've been looking for a reason why they wouldn't be there. And I feel like it's really going to take them to win this fucking game for people to finally believe and get them their props. Like,
and you know why that is? Because the media, everybody, not me though, the media hates black quarterbacks, not me though.
Hey man, long live the black QB.
Long live the black QB.
And you think about it,
Jamarcus Russell.
Not Jamarcus Russell. He's a jabroni. But think back to that second Atlanta game. And I remember before the season started, pretty much this, everybody on this podcast picked Atlanta to win. You know, nobody thought Carolina would be where they're at now in the beginning of the year. And I think that that motivation, that drive to show motherfuckers like, hey, we're here. Like, we are as good as y'all see we are. And nobody wants to admit it. And I think with all the other variables going into the game, obviously that defense is awesome. Cam Newton, MVP. Caliber game, like this shit is no fluke, man. They're gonna go in there, they're gonna walk them. And like Shane said, they've been punching people in the mouth in the beginning of the games. I think the game honestly gonna be over with in the first half. Because I think that they're gonna cause turnovers. And Prentice, you said there are no other notables in that secondary, but Kirk Coleman was NFC leader in interceptions. I mean, they got some weapons over there all over. Pass rush. And I just think that Peyton is not mobile at all. And if that offensive line is as weak as it is on paper, Carolina going to eat all day. It's probably going to be a closer game, like score-wise, than it is. Probably like some garbage points at the end of the game for Denver. But it's probably going to be a blowout going into the halftime and probably another bad Super Bowl again.
Prentice.
Wow.
Prentice, do you disagree with that? What will it take for the Seahawks to win? You don't sound like you agree with that.
Well, Seahawks aren't playing once again.
God damn it, the Panthers!
You know, I'm not going to say show up because anything can happen any given Sunday, but
shut up.
You know that, man. God
yeah,
damn.
But you didn't have to. It ain't no fucking. You did. If you would have made the comparison with fucking Jamie and Cam and made it funnier, probably. But you just say any given Sunday to be cliche.
Man, shut the fuck up and let me get my point out.
Fuck your point.
Thank you, host. Yeah, but Carolina, man, I mean, it starts in their front seven. And nobody's been able to block that front four all season. Nobody can block their linebackers. You know, if they just continue to do what they did all season, like they said, just make hell for that run game where Peyton Manning every series is in a 3-8. He's in 3-6, 3-9, third down and 7. You know, if he's in those long situations all game long, then I think it could get ugly quick. You know, everybody's talking about, you know, Denver's defensive line rushing the passer, but you know, Cam hasn't been hit too much this season either. Carolina's patchwork offensive line came to play this year, which is surprisingly in itself with Michael Orr. And if they can, like I said, if Mr. Blindside, they can hold down the fort and run that ball, it's going to be a long day for the Broncos.
It's amazing. Ever since that movie came out, he's really fucking terrible.
Actually, he was incredible this season.
Yeah, this season. Yeah,
he really was kind of resurrecting
his
career.
That season in Baltimore, after the fucking movie came out, like, oh, he was fucking trash.
Yeah, he had a bad few years. That shit out there in Tennessee was even worse.
Okay, last but not least, Kelsey, what will it take for the Panthers to win Super Bowl 50?
Like I said, I definitely agree with a lot of the points you guys are making. I just want to cue to Von Miller really quick. If they don't stop Von Miller, then Cam is going to be on the turf a lot. And like you said, Cam has not been sacked a lot. His offensive line is doing a great job of protecting him. So if their offensive line can hold that Broncos defense, they're going to do a good job. Now, aside from that, you got, like I wrote about this actually in the past week. You got to take a look at Ron Rivera and the team that he's actually coaching. Ron Rivera is a really kind of suave, kind of cool, just almost a little, you can almost call him laid back as a coach. If Ron Rivera keeps that exact same attitude, and obviously people are, you know, screaming in the media about how the Panthers are cocky and what have you, all the dancing, all the shenanigans and all that. The balance that team has needs to be kept as is. Like, the players can go out on the field and they can act crazy and they can do whatever if they're producing. And your coach is on the sideline and he's about his business, but he's not flipping out. He's not, you know, cursing. You can't see him cursing out the refs or anything like that. So a lot of what the Panthers' mentality is going to hold to is what Ron Rivera says in that locker room before they hit the field.
That's a good point. You know what? And to piggyback off that, if you kind of paid attention to what Carolina did this year, they didn't go out of their way to make Cam the MVP. You know what I'm saying? Like, there wasn't games where he threw 70 times to prove a point to get 400 yards and 8 touchdowns. It was like we stayed within our principles. We played our game. And, you know, like just like you said, if they go into the Super Bowl with the same mentality, let's play our game. Let's not try to showcase Cam to get him Super Bowl MVP and play what do us. They walk away with this Super Bowl.
And I have a good point to actually counteract the point that I made about Ron Rivera. This kind of goes into a basketball thing, but look at John Calipari and the type of coach he is and the type of team that he has. Calipari a lot of times blames himself for the way that his team plays. And to me, that's a great thing because obviously it's your team and you do have to take accountability for your players at the end of the day. And just the demeanor that Ron Rivera has, he doesn't have to say, oh, I'm taking accountability of my players. Like, people know this just by his actions and how he portrays himself on the field or on the sidelines. And his team will speak for him. They'll say, hey, this is how we represent Ron Rivera.
You can tell that, you know, he's highly respected in that locker room. And he's just like Calipari, like, you know, he's in charge where, you know, you can safely say look around the league in the NFL, that's not the case in a lot of teams. It's just Carolina really is the perfect situation. I just don't see any weaknesses from top to bottom with that team like I thought I did, you know, middle in the season. They've been the best team all year. Like, you know, people keep forgetting they were 15-1. And, you know, they knocked Seattle out, then they knocked Arizona out, who everybody thought was the best. Why should Denver be any trouble? I don't think it will.
All right, we'll finish up there with the this part or this portion of the podcast. We'll have some rebuttals throughout the week to some of the things we said here. But we're going to finish up with the score. We want you to predict the score. We want you to predict the game MVP. Kelsey, we'll start with you.
Game MVP? Ooh, that's going to be a tough one. But you know what? I'm going to put my Carolina mask on real quick, and I'm just gonna say Luke.
Okay, all right, she giving it to Luke. Any particular reason, any particular stat line you think he'll have?
I'm not gonna pin sacks on Luke, but I'm gonna definitely say that he's gonna bring pressure to that offensive line at least 10 times, at least. And he's going to change the way that Peyton Manning looks at his offense at least 10 times.
Is he going to get another pick six? He's got, what, 2 this postseason, right?
Yep. First player ever.
I wouldn't say a pick six, but I'll definitely say it, and I'll give him 1 interception.
All right. All right, Shane.
Yeah, I'm going with Carolina. I'll say 34-17, and I think that might – you know, even be being a little generous here. Unless Kuechly gets, you know, a pick six or, you know, multiple sacks, I don't see, it's really hard, especially now, for the quarterback not to get MVP. I think it's going to be Cam.
You got any money placed on this game?
I will within the next few days. I'll be making a lot of prop bets, which will be going on the Good If It Goes blog for everybody to see. Multiple prop bets to be made on the game.
Check out goodifitgoes.com. The most articles we've had since our existence. Prentice.
Woo! I'm going to go with Carolina 31. 31-17. My MVP is Keywon Short. Like I said, I think Carolina's defensive line is going to get after it, and I think he'll have a multiple sack type game.
All right, hopefully. Hold on. I'm sorry. I need to interrupt this. If he gets MVP, I will buy I'll buy you another 2 pizzas, 2 large pizzas from that fucking that place out in Indy.
How can you dispute a fucking a Super Bowl MVP when Malcolm Smith beat out Russell Wilson 2 years ago?
Look, I'm just saying it's not going to happen. And if it does, you got 2 more pizzas headed your way.
A Tale of Two Pieces, part two.
I mean, that's insanity.
Aren't you dieting right now?
Fuck no. Diet? What the fuck is a diet?
He's on the seafood diet.
Seafood, you eat it.
That's right.
Niggas
right.
Can't make it to Black History Month without breaking their damn New Year's resolution.
Mike, we're going to finish this portion of the podcast with you. Give me a score. Give me an MVP.
Carolina. 38. Denver. 27, and it really not going to even get that close to garbage time. MVP, OH, baby, Ted Ginn.
Oh, my God.
8 catches, probably about 120, 130 yards, 1 touchdown.
Are you going to throw in the kick return?
And one very flashy punt return where he makes like 6 people miss but don't hit pay dirt, and then Cam rewards him with the touchdown.
You know what? I need to look up the odds to see what I can get on Ted Ginn to get MVP. That's really an interesting one because he has the capability to, you know, run a kickback, catch a long pass. You know, that's actually interesting.
He ain't catching shit long on Denver secondary. You can cancel that one.
They said that all season long.
Okay, yeah, but this is a different secondary this week.
All right, there you have it. We're going to finish this portion of the podcast here. This will be up on the website. You can check out the rest on our YouTube channel. It'll be Good If It Goes on YouTube. And we'll have a live Q&A response to the questions here on the podcast. But we hope you guys enjoy your Super Bowl Sunday. And we'll see you next week on the Good Podcast. Good If It Goes.